Hi, and welcome to our podcast, Making Dance Accessible. The podcast that talks about how dance is impacting everyday people to professional artists. Don't forget to check out our website at www.bostonmobiledance.com. This podcast is sponsored by Boston Mobile Dance Studio, the studio that travels to your city or town and makes dance accessible. We would also like to give a shout out to our other sponsor, the production company, The Cab Group Production, the company that provides bridges for people and their success. Podcast Episode 1. In this episode, we sit down with Iman Sel Durden, a very influential individual, not just in the hip-hop dance world, but in the general dance world as well. We discuss his very amazing and informative book, Beginning Hip-Hop Dance. Check it out. All right, everyone, we are speaking with Iman Sel Durden, amazing artist, really serious about his craft. You can tell by just even looking at his work. He's a dance, just to give you a little background, he's a dance educator and historian who specializes in cultural and historical contexts of American Afro-Latin social dance. He's an assistant professor of practices for the Gloria Kaufman School of Dance at the University of Southern California. He has many accolades. He's a member of the pioneering hip hop crew Mop Top out of Brooklyn, New York. Yeah. He's highly sought after as a guest lecturer and workshop presenter. And he's given performances throughout the United States and internationally. He is the author of the brand new book, Beginning Hip Hop. Beginning Hip Hop. How's it going? Marcel, how's it going?
We're doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. It's been a beautiful day, so life is good.
All right.
Well, hey, let's get into it. Wanted to ask you some questions and just kind of know more about you as an artist. And, you know, you've been such a great contributor to the hip-hop culture. And when did you start dancing?
I've been dancing all my life.
Nice.
Since I was a
baby. Just grooving.
Since a baby. Yeah, we have, doing what babies do. But there's like footage of me at 2 years old copying my parents and cousins doing the dancing that they were doing.
Nice. That's
so
what's
my,
up.
My parents were social dancers as well, so I got my love of music from them and probably the love of movement as well.
Nice. So your parents pretty much inspired you to dance.
I don't even know if it was so much that they inspired me. It was just something that you did. I grew up with a community that's what you did. You moved the music and you let the music move you. It's going to move you if you're connected. And, we're just music lovers. So how you express that is to move to it. In some cases, it's frequency and vibrational where you don't even have control over it. Music literally can move you.
Yeah. That's powerful because, you know, you think about the younger generation, a lot of the younger generation didn't even get that. So it's hard for the younger generation to even make that connection. But it's what a blessing that you've been able to grow up in that environment. You know what I mean?
Where you can... Go ahead.
No, that's not what you're saying. That's just really powerful, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, now... African American communities as a kid, there was little, aspirations for like being a professional dancer. That wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
And you had that earlier on with like tap dancing and what have you. But in most cases, people in the African American community, they dance because that's life practice. And there is often opportunity to take that to a different level, to a commercial level, if you will, performative level, to have a sustainable career.
Yeah.
But even having that career, that's not the reason people dance.
Yeah.
And these younger generations, that their initial themes, their initial focus is, this is a career path. And that's not why we dance. We don't dance for a career path. We dance to express ourselves. Yeah. And if a career can come out of that, great.
Yeah.
But we're dancing regardless, so.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. We need to hear more of that. You know what I mean? So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think this generation, it's more, it's in the commodity field and not being viewed as part of culture.
Yeah.
The culture is still happening, which is why we keep getting new dances, because the culture is still living and breathing and expressing themselves as Black. And that's where, you know, the quote-unquote commercial industry, that's where they're getting it from, because the community, particularly the African-American community, continues creating dances.
Yeah. True that, true that. Now, for you, what made you fall in love with hip-hop? Is there any particular thing, or...?
I don't even know if I'm in love with hip hop. Hip hop to me is a buzzword. Because the culture, what we call hip hop right now.
Yep.
is a cultural continuum that goes all the way back to Negro spiritual. Right, and it's just for each generation, possibly in certain cases, each decade, but most often each generation has an expressive form, you know, and to condense this into the last century and then this one, you know, ragtime becomes, the focus goes from ragtime music to jazz music. Blues is skinned in there. I'm not going to go through all the genre labels, but you know, you're dealing with rock and roll, you're dealing with soul and funk, and all that's hip hop.
Yeah.
It's not hip hop, but hip hop comes out of that continuum. So again, this goes back to culture and life practice. It's just now we call it hip hop, but foundationally, expressively, this been happened. So I didn't, it's not that I fell in love with hip hop.
Yeah.
I possibly fell in love with the new ways that our culture was expressing itself.
Yeah. That's powerful.
But the label, I mean, the first time the words hip hop were used in the record was in 1957 on Scatman Crothers' record, Speak Lips. But the word itself is, you know, throughout the 40s and the 50s, the word hop was synonymous with dance. And the word hip goes back to being popular in America to the 1800s, where it meant to be aware of something, to open one's eyes. Some people connect it to Wolof speaking languages in West Africa, but it's, you know, hip in America is always meant to be aware of something, to be in the know. You know, I'm hip to the jive. I know what's going on. But 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and so again, it's a continuum of a way of being and existing and belonging in this culture.
It's powerful. Well put, well put. So, as you're the author of this brand new book, Beginning Hip Hop Dance, what gave you the idea to write the book?
I was actually, Human Kinetic, who is a publishing company, they publish magazines on fitness and sports and dance. And they reached out to me. I didn't even know the company existed, to be honest with you. They reached out to me and said, hey, we've been following your work for a number of years, and we have a dance series out. What they do is, like, they have beginning ballet, beginning modern, beginning tap.
Yeah.
So they wanted somebody to write one on hip hop, and they sent me an email, introduced themselves, and figured that I would be a person to write it, because I kind of have a foot in academia and I have a foot in the streets.
Yeah.
So they wanted the authenticity of having, you know, quote unquote street credibility.
Yeah.
Somebody that's from the environment. To write it, but they also wished that they had, you know, academic hold on what was going on. So they thought that I would be the best one, and I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Another question I have for you is, how long did it take you to put the book together?
I think about 2 years.
Yeah.
especially that I got behind because they wanted so many chapters every so often. And I kind of got behind because I was writing it during the school year. And I already had a very arduous schedule. So I just got behind on the book. And they were ready to pack the book. They, you know, if I couldn't get caught up to the chapters, they were like, we're going to have to, you know, hold off on this and maybe get to it another year or two. And so I was like, nah, let me, I got one of my students, Celine Conner, to help me get caught up.
Yeah.
And so if it wasn't for Celine, I wouldn't have finished the book on time.
Yeah.
Celine is, she's actually, she's going to be a senior this year in Kauffman in the program.
Yeah.
And, so she helped me get everything squared away, and I was able to meet the final deadline and turn it in.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of feedback? Have you got any feedback so far? From any contemporaries?
Not really. I know I have a friend that ordered the Sweden. I've got a couple of people around the world that emailed me that got their orders and making orders. But I did find out that 10 days after the release of the book, that organizations from China and I believe an organization from Italy wanted to review the book to have it translated into their language to sell there.
Nice.
So that was pretty amazing. But other than that, I get emails almost every day from somebody around the world saying, how can they get an order? Do we ship to their country? There are only nine left in Amazon. So, you know, I don't know how many Amazon started out with, but, you know, people seem to be picking them up, and then I have different friends that are in different schools that are recommending them to their schools, and some of them have already purchased the book on their own. So I'm hoping that people find it helpful. You know, I've tried to be very clear that this book is not like a research book. There are two chapters. One chapter covers history, and then the other chapter covers some of the groups, some of the popular crews, dance crews, you know, the Lockers and what have you, and other figures in the dance community.
Yeah.
But the rest of the book, you know, a couple of chapters go over my language and methodology for teaching party dancing. And then, you know, other chapters are like on health and safety and fitness and you know, what to expect going into a studio if it's your first time taking a dance class. So it's that very practical perspective on dance. And I didn't want people to think, oh, this is the whole history book on it. It's not that. It is like, it's really, if you're taking a dance class, especially if it's your first time taking a hip-hop dance class, if you are a teacher looking to better understand how to teach hip-hop, there's a lot of useful tools in this book.
Nice.
So I'm just hoping that it's beneficial to everybody. I think it's the first book written by a practitioner, a known practitioner in the community, particularly about the party dances and not breaking.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's exciting, man. That is super exciting. And I got one more question for you. If there is one thing, one main gem that you would want someone to get from the book, what would it be?
My acronym for dance, I guess. I'm sure there's a number of things in there, but the first thing that comes to mind is my acronym for dance, which is discovering the autobiographical self, negotiating creativity and expression. I think as human beings, we are in constant discovery of our narrative, who we are. We're always searching for this idea, this understanding. And that is the autobiographical self, our core self of who we are. Yeah. And we are constantly negotiating our idea, our culture, our voice, our space. And the creativity is the production of those things. And the expression is that space that we allow ourselves to be vulnerable enough to share our inner feelings with others. And I hope people take that away, as far as a practical, as far as a philosophy, I hope they take that away. And as far as a practical thing, I hope they take away understanding that the structure of party dancing, once you understand that, it allows you to look at any new dance that comes out and instantly be able to pick it up.
Nice.
You actually don't need to, like, take a class. You need to understand structure. The classes you need to help will help you develop the structure. They should help you in your understanding of musicality and help you develop in your body awareness and what have you. But if you have those basic elements, you should learn to walk out of a class and have a structure that teaches itself in the use of your whole body. That's what you should get out of the class. You need to keep going and going and going and going and going and going and year and year and year. You ain't learning. Or the teachers ain't teaching. Mm-hmm. Because you should have in place, this doesn't make you a great dancer, but you should have in place a structure and a knowledge of how to look and move that you see a new dance and you don't even take a dance class to do it. You just see it. And you're like, oh, okay, I know how to do that. I know how the body is moving.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing. I'm not saying you don't need class because there's a whole host of other things that you get from that.
Yeah.
But that is definitely something that you should be able to walk out of a class. But definitely from this book, you should get that.
That's right. Well, well put, my brother. Well put. And oh, we need to find out. So if someone's trying to look up and trying to, if they want to purchase the book, you know, and find out more about you, where can they go?
They could probably Google me. I don't have a website up yet for this coming. But for the book, they can go to humankinetics.com.
Yeah.
Or they can go to BarnesandNoble.com. Or Amazon.com and just put in beginning hip hop dance and it should pop up.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, folks. E. Monsell Durden, it's been great talking with you. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and we're really
thank
excited.
You for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime, my brother. And we'll see you on the dance floor.
All right, sounds good.
Boom. And there you have it. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. Don't forget to check out www.bostonmobiledance.com. Please like it, share it, tag somebody, spread the word, you heard? Peace.